Okay. All right. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you that you help us in all seasons of life. Help us today to calm our soul and to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you recall, a few weeks ago, I returned from my visit to the conference in Portland and gave you the word that it's a new day, it's a new season, and that was a marker day issuing in a new release of grace into this house. And there were a number of things that the Lord spoke to me, and you just received one of them, which was the fellowship groups, and the rest of them will unfold in the coming weeks. But I want to share with you today how to hold on to your faith in the time of testing. Because whenever God gives us a word, that word is always tested. So in your bulletin, how many of you have a bulletin? And the rest of you don't have a bulletin, okay? Well, be sure to pick up a bulletin today, because in the bulletin is a prophecy you're going to need. It was a prophecy given to this house, and I believe it is for this time and this season. So you'll have plenty of paper when you leave today, but be sure to pick up a bulletin, because in the bulletin is another A4 sheet that gives a prophecy that was given to this house. All right. As I mentioned to you, I believe that God has spoken to us so clearly about his promise to give us a building. We actually are aware of the particular building. And interestingly enough, we had virtually no activity in relation to that building, either getting out of this building that we've left and getting into that building, which we have received, until, listen to this now, the day I shared with you that word. That was the day I was notified there was some activity regarding that building. So I don't think that's accidental at all, and you'll hear more about that as we go on. But I believe that we're, as a church, in a very important and exciting time in our history. And so I'd like for you to listen today, so that you understand how to hold on to your faith in the time of testing. Because if God gives you a word, it will always be tested. And God has given you a word about numerous things, perhaps in your life, your ministry, your job, your career, whatever it is. And he's given us a word as a house, as a church family. It is part of our destiny, our future, our calling. Look through the Bible, you'll see that God arrested people. He gave them a word. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, now the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came. And you know, the Hebrew translation for that phrase, the word of the Lord, the word dabar, is actually something that specifies a pressure or a force behind the word that is pushing that word to its completion. And so that's the way God made the word. God made the word so that there would be some divine energy to bring that word to completion. How many believe that when God sent his son, he sent his son the word to accomplish a mission, and he accomplished it? Now, there had to be some divine pressure behind the Son of God for him to complete that, because he faced the greatest tests a person could ever face successfully. And so every word is tested. Tested. That may not be good news to you, but it's the truth. You know, it's kind of like Monday morning. You have to get up. It may not be wonderful news, but it is the truth. All right. So every believer is meant to live by hearing and embracing the word of God. That's how we live. Matthew 4:4 says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so that we have both this word and a prophetic word, or a word spoken by the Holy Spirit into your heart, or through a prophetic word, or some other way in which God puts his voice into your mind and causes you to understand that he is speaking. Well, that's the spoken word. But this is also, even though it is the written word, it is a spoken word. It was originally spoken by God to men, and they recorded what God spoke, and so we have the Bible, which is the Word of God. So those two dimensions of the Word of God are the basis for our relationship with Christ. Neglect either one at your peril, because the Bible says you live by the Word. You live by the Word or you die without it. And so that's how we learn to live, and I believe this is a house where we're learning that. We've learned it, and we're learning it, and we'll yet learn it. And so when we say every word is tested, it's basically saying there's a pressure that comes on the word and the receiver of that word when the word is given. You know, Matthew 13:21. You want to just turn there. Matthew 13:21. You say, Pastor, you mean if God speaks to me, there's a test coming? Yes. Matthew 13 and verse 21. It says, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So, pressure comes from the Word. Now we understand this from Genesis to Revelation. God gave the first two people of creation a word, didn't he? He said, I want to tell you, all this is yours. You govern it, you rule it. But he says, how about this? Just one little tree over here. Leave that. What happened? Pressure came on that word. Satanic opposition, if you will, came on that word. And so the Bible is full of this theme from beginning to end. And I've given you some other references. Hebrews chapter 11. And I don't have time to really preach all of these verses. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him. God tested Abram. He tested him. He gave him a word, you're going to have a son. And he tested him. He had the test of waiting, and then he had the test of killing, of offering his son. Those are tests. Those are real tests. So God does give us a word, and then he tests us. He tests that word in us. And so that's why it's so important that we get the word in us and that we hold on to it. And God uses that testing season to develop your character and your faith. He uses it to develop your character and your faith. And that's what causes you to become like God said of Apelles, he is tested and approved in Christ. So God allows the pressure of circumstances and Satan's attack in the season of testing to come against us once we have received the word. And once again, we know that Satan came. God allowed Satan. Satan came and he said, did God say? And all of us are familiar with this particular kind of thing. When you receive a word, oftentimes negative or contradictory or difficult circumstances arise and you are tempted to say, well, maybe I didn't hear it. Maybe I didn't hear it right. And if you're not careful, you open the door of doubt in your inner man, and doubt is the thief of the blessing of God. It is the most terrible, damnable thing that comes against your life, and that's doubt, because it steals your faith, which is your most precious possession. And so it's vital to recognize that this is part of the journey of life. And this happens in this story of Daniel chapter 6. And I want us to examine very quickly here this morning and just kind of draw some lessons here as we go through this, because the Bible is the roadmap for life, and we want to know how to walk through this season and come out the other side really shouting, excited, like we've been all the way through. So pressure is defined as the continual force exerted upon a person in order to persuade. So God allows the devil and circumstances to be a pressure that comes against us to persuade us. God allows it. You may not like it, but God has allowed it. And when you think about it, that's actually what makes strong believers. You don't develop any muscles without exercise. And some exercise involves a certain amount of exertion and pain. You're going to develop real muscles. To surrender your faith and give in to exactly what happened with Israel. God gave them a word. He said, I'm taking you out of here. They said, yes, sir, we're out of here. And we're taking you to the promised land. Yes, that's great. And so down the road a little bit, and the pressure, satanic opposition. You remember when we were preaching this session that God had him camp right next to Baal Zephon, which was the place of demon worship. And so they experienced this onslaught in their minds, and so they started grumbling and complaining and saying to Moses, why'd you bring it out here anyway? They sent 12 spies into the land. They said, no. They lost out. And the journey of life is full of these defining seasons. So let's look here at Daniel's life, Daniel chapter 6. And I'm just going to draw the points here. I might read some of the verses. Several characteristics emerge from this story to help each one of us individually and collectively as we handle the word that God has spoken to us. Daniel's life seemed to be going well, and he was blessed. Have you ever had a season of your life where your life seems to be going well and you were blessed? Raise your left hand. The rest of you will come to prayer. You had a season of life where you seemed to be going well. Your body was good. Your finances weren't so bad. You seemed to be going well. And that's where Daniel was. According to chapter 5, verse 29, says, then in Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. So he thought, hey, man, this is good. I like it. How many of you like the good seasons? Okay, the rest of you, no. So his life seemed to be going well. Then, as your notes say, one fine day, not, the attack came against the word of the Lord that was at the center of Daniel's relationship with God. These guys said about Daniel, this guy's a good guy. And that's what the devil always says about you. Same thing he said about Job. It's a good guy. He's a good guy. The only way that we're going to have any success with him is if we attack what he believes. That's what it says. We'll never find any basis for charges against this man unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So what we've got to do is we've got to attack the word. Attack the word. And so when the circumstances turn upside down and you get bad news or really bad news, it's an attack against the word of God. It's not just you. Often people have said to me, Pastor, why is this happening to me? And I like to say to them, and when it's the right time, it's because you carry the word of God. It's the attack against the word. The word. It's an attack against the word that's in you. It isn't like God doesn't like you. The devil hates everybody. Hello. If you're the devil's favorite, you're in trouble. I don't think he has any favorites. It's an attack against the word. And it's so important to get that sorted out in yourself. Because when people don't sort that out in themselves, what do? They do the wrong, they start the wrong process on the inside. Well, it must be me. And you know, I said something I shouldn't have said to my wife the other day, or to, you know, and I did this, and I, you know, I stole a pencil from work, and I never was really right with this. And so pretty soon they've agreed with the devil. They're backing up. They've surrendered to doubt. And the devil says, good. I got them on the ropes. I'm going to see if I can cut their head off, because I've already cut their heart out. And so it's so important to realize. It says something to do with the law of his God. God gives you a word, and he believes that you have the capacity for carrying that word to its completion. He believes you have that capacity. He actually gives you that capacity if you only realize it. This was a satanically inspired trap. They had to attack the essence of Daniel's relationship with God. And that is the essence of your relationship with God, your faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. It is the essence of your relationship with God, your faith. So the Bible says Daniel discovered or discerned the trap against himself. It says in verse 10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, in life's journey, I'm sure you have at times realized that what's going on here isn't just kind of a unique arrangement of circumstances I don't lack, but this is an attack of the devil. We live in a world where we have a protagonist. Every day you get out of bed, there is a devil who hates you. There's a God who loves you, but there's a devil who hates you. And Daniel discerned this. All right, yeah, they're after. They're after something that is so precious to me. You're meant to discern the trap and stand in the storm of negative and contradictory circumstances. You see, it could have gone easily like this for Daniel. He could have said, well, wait a minute, you know, look at the position that Belshazzar has put me in. I'm third in the kingdom, and man, I'm, you know, I got the gold and this purple, and you know, how on earth could this happen to me? What is it that's wrong with me? How on earth did God allow this to happen? He could have gone down this whole route of paralysis through analysis and found himself in a totally different position. But he discerned this was something satanic. Okay, next point, he says, Daniel took to prayer and thanksgiving. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room and started crying. No, he got on the WhatsApp. No. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. The windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he sent out his messages on it. No, he's three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. So he lived a life of thanksgiving, but when the great trouble came, what did he do? He prayed. The Bible doesn't say what he prayed, but he prayed. It wasn't opposite to his thanksgiving, otherwise there's no point in thanksgiving. And then he gave thanks. Well, but that doesn't make sense, Pastor. When you get bad news, how do you give thanks? You just do it. You know that famous scripture, don't you? I think Nike publicized that one. Just do it! It isn't based on your feelings at all. It's based on the fact that God has given you so many blessings, so many things to give him thanks for. And when you open your mouth, it doesn't matter how you feel. When you open your mouth and you start giving thanks, you know what you're doing? You're starting to rule over the bad news you got. If you don't start thanksgiving, you'll start moan-giving. Hello. Even if you're sophisticated enough just to moan to yourself. Well, you know that great hymn, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen." No. He gave thanks. You see, one of the tests of maturity is what you choose to do when things are not good. What you choose to do, you give thanks. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. I'm giving thanks for what? I'm giving thanks for that. No, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything. So in every circumstance that comes, you're a thanksgiver. Hello. If you're a thanksgiver, raise your right hand. Okay, good. God saw that. You're a thanksgiver. So that's what he did. So what is your initial or first response to trouble? Is it prayer, thanksgiving, and declaration? That's what comes out of you? Now, interesting, it says that others discovered Daniel speaking the right stuff in prayer and thanksgiving. Verse 11 says, "Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help." They discovered him saying the right stuff. Will other people discover you say the right stuff? When you are faced with something that doesn't look like it's going to happen, it looks upside and down and backwards, and science and arithmetic and everything else that is human and of this earth is opposite to its success, will other people discover you're saying the right stuff? Will they? They did with Daniel. They sneaked up on him and listened. I like to suggest to you that God's listening too. He's wanting to hear a certain sound from me and a certain sound from you when it just looks like it's all going to go away. It's all going to go away. You see, your confession is your inheritance. Your confession is your inheritance. Everybody say it. My confession is my inheritance. Say it again. My confession is my inheritance. One more time. My confession is my inheritance. Now you can read the story yourself. Numbers 13, 30 through 33. You can see that what those people confessed, the one group got what they confessed. The other group got what they confessed. One confessed, we can't do it. There's no way. We're just grasshoppers. Yeah, okay, that's what they were. That's what they were. The other people said, yeah, we can go in. We're well able. They both saw the same things, but they said something different. You know, isn't it amazing how when you're getting ready to encourage somebody and they're going through a hard place, it's easy for you to see what they should say. I mean, maybe not so easy for you to say what you should say when you see what you see. Oh, shout what you believe, not what circumstances and the devil and feelings say. All right, what happened? So the pressure increased, and Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. How many know that's pressure increasing? The pressure is increasing. First of all, there's the threat of dying, and then you're brought before the king, and now you're being cast into the lion's den. Verse 16. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. Now, I'd like you to just to put yourself in his shoes for a moment. You have been in this really wonderful position in the kingdom and had lots of stuff going your way. Good life. You were living the good life. And now the lid's just been taken off the lion's den, and they just picked you up, and they're dropping you down. What goes through your mind as you go from the top of this den to where the lions are? What goes through your mind? I think there's some pressure there. You know, I've been in several life-threatening situations where my life could have been snuffed out very easily in various ways. And I'd like to say from personal experience that when you're in those life-threatening situations, if your trust is in God, it's not as though you all of a sudden are anesthetized to the significance of your event, of your circumstances. But let me tell you, when you are trusting in the Lord, there's a grace that comes to you. There's a grace that comes to you. And that's exactly what happened to Daniel. Say, Pastor, how can you say that? Because it's written in the book. When he's going from the top of the den to where the lions are, there's a grace that's on him. There's a grace that's on him. So sometimes the threat of impending or possible circumstances gets unbelievably greater. Have you ever had that where you had trouble one day and then before that day was out, another trouble came. And before that was finished, you had another trouble. You thought, well, it's not possible to have this much trouble in one day. Sometimes the kind of thing that you face when you're working on a promise and the Word of God seems like such a serious threat that threat seems like it's your reality. It's not. It's not. And if you don't want it to become your reality, you got to deal with what's going on in here. You got to deal with what's going on in here and here. The threat seems the reality. Why does the threat seem a reality? Because you rehearse it over and over. Well, the doctor said, or this person said, or that happened. This is the end result of this. No one has ever recovered from this or that or the other. And pretty soon, with a little satanic help, you've locked yourself into something. And you think, yeah, that's the world I'm in. That's what they call a suicide mentality. A suicide mentality. Where the threat is so real, you look for some kind of human-based escape. But interestingly enough, or strangely enough, the word of the Lord comes again to Daniel from an unusual source. Just as he was plummeting towards the lions. So they threw him into the lion's den, and then the king says, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Belshazzar didn't believe in God, but somehow he believed that Daniel's God was so powerful that maybe it would work. So that's from his side. But as he's falling down the den, the king says, "Maybe your God will rescue you." And you can be sure that Daniel's going, "Absolutely right. Thank you so much for that reminder, Jesus. Appreciate that." You know, God is so faithful. He is so faithful. And then circumstances seemed unchangeable. That's right. Daniel 6 and verse 17 says, "Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night," or rather verse 16, 17 rather, "stone was brought, placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed." Let me tell you, the devil always wants you to believe your situation cannot and will not be changed. I mean, if you're Daniel, you were brought out of where you lived and now in captivity, and God's promoted you and blessed you and given you an influence and a place, and now it looks like from a human point of view that it's all going to go away and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the way it looks from a human point of view. That's why this is in the Bible, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. The devil always says, no way! It isn't going to happen. It's too far gone. It's too much. It's too great. It's too big. Too long! We have to endure when our situation seems unchangeable. We don't give up. We don't give up. We absolutely do not give up. Because God is greater than all of our circumstances. Daniel had to endure the night season. The Bible says that the king went to bed, returned to his palace, spent the night without eating and without any entertainment, couldn't sleep at the first light of dawn. So we know Daniel had to spend the night with the lions. Now, this is, to me, a fascinating part of the story. Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, and I think, this is what I think. I think when they dropped him down, he landed on a bunch of furry backs and just slid to the ground. Why do you think that, Pastor? Well, because the text suggests that, as you'll see in a moment. And interestingly enough, they looked at Daniel not as they looked at everything else that came from above. They didn't see him as food. And so I can see Daniel probably put his hand out, nice kitty. How are you doing? Okay, I'm making that up. But I want you to see something. He is in the lion's den. He should be with Jesus, dead. He's not. In fact, he's not even necessarily having any sleeplessness. Now you know grace is on you when you're sleeping in the lion's den. Hello. When you're at rest, you can sleep in the lion's den. I've known circumstances in my life where I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't sleeping. I was trying to engineer something. I was trying to figure out a way. Momentarily surrendering to the terror of my circumstance, but not Daniel. Not Daniel. So, he had to endure the night season, and we have to endure. Let's go on. It says, the king wakes up, goes at the light of dawn, hurried to the lion's den. How long am I going to be in the lion's den, Pastor? I don't know. Maybe until you're at rest. Maybe until you're at rest. I don't mean in the grave, but in rest in here. Lord, I just want to give you thanks and praise today. I just want to give you thanks and praise today. I've been sleeping in the palace. Thank you for helping me to sleep in the den. And then what happens? The king says, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? I'd like you to examine that question. That's the question the whole world is asking us. The whole world is asking us that question. Is your God able to rescue you? What's the answer? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, my God is able to rescue you. My God. I like the idea of rescue. I really like it. That's such a powerful question. Is your God able to rescue you? Whatever you're facing right now, whatever we're facing as a congregation, the question remains, is our God able to rescue us? Now, what will your answer be? Notice verse 21. Daniel answered, O king, live forever. He didn't say, oh, you dirty dog. How could you betray me and our relationship and our friendship like this? I mean, come on. Some people are so caught up with injustice, they neglect the word of the Lord that preserves their life. So, notice verse 22. Angels attended Daniel. My God sent his angel. I'd like to say to you that angels are with you in your den of testing. Right now in your circumstance and with this house, there are angels that are with us and with you in your den of testing. Wherever you are, whatever's going on, I don't know what it is, but wherever you are, the angels are with you. God, according to the Bible, has assigned angels that are ministering heirs to those that are the heirs of salvation. They minister to you. They enable you to see. There's an angel with you. But that angel only gets activated if you believe. And I can prove that from this verse. My God sent his angel. Well, let's take that today. I want you to say something right now that I believe is important for all of us and all of us as a congregation. I'd like you to say, there are angels with me right now. No matter my circumstances, there are angels with me right now. Vital truth. The devil doesn't want you to remember that or confess it or thank God for it. Lord, I thank you for the angels that are with us. Doesn't matter how it looks, what anybody said, what anybody's doing, they're angels with us. Your word is yes and amen. We were singing it a while ago. I'm going to sing in the midst of the storm we were singing. Now, lastly, Daniel had an appointment with the lift. You ever been into a block of buildings and you had to go find somebody who was in the lower basement? Lower ground. Two floors down below Mother Earth. Yeah, well, that's where the den was. But notice this. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. No wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Now, I know it's a little play on words and you may not like it, but it's true nevertheless. Wherever you are in your den of testing, there's a lift button. And I want to say to you, you have an appointment with the lift. Your trust in God will enable you to push that button and go to the top floor. The king's edict kept him there. His signet, the seal of all of his officials. It wasn't going to happen, but God turned it around because he trusted. He believed in the word of the Lord. He believed in God. Stand to your feet. I don't know what I am saying to you personally. I believe I'm hearing something personally myself. As an individual, And as the pastor and as a representative of this house, what I believe that God gave me this word for you to hear today and for us to hear, so that we walk through this time of testing that looks so opposite to the word of the Lord. We know we got an appointment with a lift. We got an appointment with a lift. Before I pray, I'd like for us to do what Daniel did. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given. Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks. Give thanks with the grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given. Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. We worship You today. We give You thanks. We give You thanks and praise. We magnify our great and mighty Redeemer. We thank You, Lord, our Savior and King. Thank You every day of our lives. We will ever praise You, O Lord, Lord our God. Father, what a wonderful thing that You gave us the Bible, the manual for living. And You trust us with the word that's spoken into our lives, into our hearts. And You've given us the wonderful privilege to apply for grace, to walk with that word until it's manifested to the glory of Your name. Most of us, if not all of us, Lord, have seen the manifestation of Your goodness in our journey. We received some word, and we walked with that word, and we warred with the word. We rehearsed the word. We declared the word. We gave thanks to You in our den of testing. And hallelujah, there came a day where our shouting was even louder, because we saw it manifested. Father, as we walk through these days in this house, and we walk with the word that You've given us a building, and You gave us that building, You gave us that building, we thank You, Lord, that You are a man, not a man, that You should lie. Your promises are, as we declare today, as we sing it, yes and amen. Lord, wherever we are in our own personal journey, If we're in the den of testing right now, Lord, we just want to thank you for being our God and being who you are and what you are in our lives. Lord, we just rule over every circumstance. We know nothing is unchangeable by the might of your right hand. There isn't any sentence this world can or Satan can bring against us that's greater than our God. And we trust you. We trust you today. We thank you that we have an appointment with the lift, that we are not giving up. We are not canceling that appointment. We're not letting go of the word. We will be a faithful and a faith-filled people all the days of our lives. And everyone who believes this said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people before you leave today.